Milmick Insurance Company's case review is a detailed look at New York-specific medical professional liability cases as experienced by Milmick policyholders and their legal teams. The following is case number 2, featured in the July 2019 issue. Case Study 2. Poor communication regarding medication management results in patient death. Early treatment. In 2003, a Milmick-insured cardiologist treated a 65-year-old widower who had severe mitral valve regurgitation with normal LV function as well as hypertension. Over the course of the next 2 years, the patient's ejection fraction decreased to 30 to 40%. In 2005, the patient underwent mechanical mitral valve replacement surgery. He then experienced several episodes of congestive heart failure and atrial fibrillation, requiring 2 admissions to the hospital. When his ejection fraction dropped to 15%, an automatic implantable cardioverter defibrillator was inserted. Because of the valve replacement, the patient was placed on long-term anticoagulation, Coumadin, by his cardiovascular surgeon. 1 month later, the cardiologist took over maintenance of the anticoagulation. He monitored the patient's INR level monthly. The results of the INR levels enabled the cardiologist to determine whether to adjust the dosage of Coumadin. After he reviewed the results, he had his staff contact the patient to tell him whether to increase, decrease, discontinue, or maintain the Coumadin dosage at the same level. The patient primarily spoke Spanish. Therefore, a staff member fluent in Spanish called him with these instructions. If the patient's INR was too high, he was advised to not take the Coumadin for a defined period of time and then restart it. After he resumed the medication, he was to repeat the INR. Unfortunately, the cardiologist's office records failed to document both the current Coumadin dosage and any adjustments made after reviewing the patient's blood work. Until 2011, the patient's INR levels remained therapeutic. Recent care. In November of 2011, the now 73-year-old patient's INR was 3.87. He was seen 1 week later for a routine checkup by the cardiologist. At that visit, he had no complaints of chest pain or shortness of breath. The examination of his heart and lungs was normal. However, once again, the physician failed to document the patient's current dosage of Coumadin, the results of the patient's most recent INR level, or whether he had prescribed any other medications for this patient. The following day, the patient's prescription for Coumadin was renewed by a covering physician. 1 week later, the patient's INR was 4.65. When this test result was received and reviewed, the designated staff member was told to promptly call the patient and advise him to discontinue the Coumadin for 3 to 4 days and then have another INR performed. These instructions were not documented in the patient's medical record. Shortly thereafter, the patient experienced hematuria. He went to a nearby hospital emergency department where his cardiologist was not in attending. Thus, his cardiologist was neither informed of the patient's visit nor contacted by the emergency department physician. The patient claimed he was advised to stop taking his Coumadin, which he did. By December 13, 2011, the patient's INR level was 1.56. The cardiologist was promptly informed of this. Allegedly, the patient was told to promptly resume the Coumadin. However, once again, these instructions and the telephone call by the staff were not documented. 1 week later, the patient's INR was 1.10. The cardiologist was not advised of these results. He then left for vacation until the end of December. The covering physician also was not informed of this panic value by the cardiologist's office staff. When the cardiologist returned to the office on December 27th, he too was not informed of this INR. On January 3, 2012, the patient was taken to the ED of a local hospital. He had slurred speech and left-sided weakness and paralysis. A brain CT scan confirmed that he had an infarct, and he was admitted to the stroke unit. His INR was found to be 1.5. A subsequent CT scan revealed an acute ischemic infarct in the right MCA and ACA distribution with a 7-millimeter midline shift, but no intracranial hemorrhage. The patient had left-sided paralysis and could not open his eyes, eat, or drink. He mumbled and tapped his head to indicate pain. Because he could not eat solid food, the placement of a feeding tube was recommended to his family. They refused to consent to this procedure. A do not resuscitate order was then issued. Over the next 24 hours, the patient developed pulmonary congestion, renal insufficiency, and hyperkalemia. 3 days later, he died. Lawsuit filed. The daughter of the deceased commenced a lawsuit against the cardiologist. She alleged that from November 2011 on, he negligently failed to properly monitor and respond to the decedent's INR levels, mismanaged his anticoagulation, and failed to act promptly to review the test results and inform the patient that he had a dangerously low INR. Thus, the patient was permitted to have a subtherapeutic INR for a prolonged period of time, which led to the stroke. The daughter also alleged that the cardiologist failed to timely reinstate the patient's Coumadin, thus permitting the decedent's condition to deteriorate, resulting in a fatal embolic stroke. The complaint demanded monetary damages for the decedent's pain and suffering, the loss of services by his wife of 7 years, and the loss of guidance, counseling, and companionship on behalf of his 3 adult children. Expert review. The care was reviewed by a Milnick expert in internal medicine. He concluded that there were serious difficulties in defending this case due to the lack of documentation of the decedent's INR levels, the dosages of Coumadin he prescribed, and the specific instructions relayed to the patient. These deficiencies in documentation made it difficult to determine whether and when the insured became aware of the decedent's INR of 4.65, which resulted in hematuria and a visit to the emergency department. Further, the medical record did not reflect when or whether the patient was advised to resume the Coumadin. Because of his failure to document these critical values and his instructions to the patient during the pivotal time period in mid to late December 2011, the expert opined that the standard of care was not met. Further, the reviewer concluded that because there was no documentation of the physician's awareness of an INR of 1.10, nor documentation that the decedent had resumed the Coumadin, his inaction resulted in a CVA and the death of this patient. At the plaintiff's deposition, she testified that she had accompanied the decedent to the defendant physician's office 7 or 8 times. She also testified that although his office staff had called her several times to relay instructions to the decedent to stop taking Coumadin, she was never told when he was to resume this medication. She further testified that while the family was together for the Christmas holidays, her stepmother informed her that the decedent had been instructed to discontinue the Coumadin, but was not told when to resume it. Settlement. Because of the highly negative views by the Milnick experts, settlement negotiations were undertaken even before the deposition of the defendant cardiologist. Counsel for the defendant had reported to the Milnick claims staff that a probable jury verdict would likely approach the limits of his $1.3 million policy. The settlement value of this lawsuit was estimated to be in the mid-six figures. Because of the decedent's age and comorbidities, defense counsel was able to settle this lawsuit on behalf of the insured cardiologist for $450,000. The following is a legal and risk management analysis of this case. There was a global failure to properly and consistently communicate with the decedent and fully document his care. The failure to respond to his INRs and timely adjust his dosages of Coumadin resulted in decedent's demise. It also resulted in a substantial settlement paid on behalf of the defendant cardiologist. Over an 11-year period of care by the cardiologist, the INR laboratory results were contained in the decedent's medical record. This does confirm that his INR was regularly monitored. However, there was little to no documentation about any advice the decedent was given about how and when to adjust his Coumadin dosage. Nor was there confirmation that he understood the significance of changes to his INR. An LEP patient. If this case had proceeded to deposition or trial, one of the issues on which the plaintiff's counsel could have focused was whether it was appropriate for an unlicensed staff member to translate and convey critical medical information. Merely speaking Spanish does not necessarily mean that the staff person should provide medical advice and critical information to a patient of limited English proficiency, LEP. In this case, it was crucial that the decedent understand the importance of the relevant medical issues. However, there was no written confirmation that the decedent understood the directions he was given. LEP patients who receive federal funding for health care, such as Medicare, must have access to a translator who is competent in medical terminology and information. Therefore, translation of the risks of Coumadin and confirmation that decedent understood that information could easily be challenged. The decedent and his daughter needed to understand that after his INR was checked, the physician should have advised him to adjust his Coumadin dosage. If he was not contacted, he should have been advised to promptly contact the cardiologist. When the patient's INR reached 3.87, there was no documentation that a call was made to the decedent to adjust his Coumadin dosage. Nor was there evidence that the defendant was even made aware of this elevated INR by his staff. This lapse was compounded by the renewal of the decedent's Coumadin prescription by another physician, without first checking the most recent INR. Finally, when the decedent's INR continued to rise, the defendant apparently did adjust the Coumadin dosage. However, again, there was no documentation of this communication. It appeared that the decedent was not told for how long a time his Coumadin should be decreased, nor when to have his INR rechecked. From this point on, there were a series of disastrous events. The decedent experienced hematuria and went to an emergency department. He was advised to completely discontinue Coumadin. The defendant claimed that he was not advised of this emergency department visit. The decedent's next INR was 1.56. There was no documentation that the defendant provided any instructions to the decedent, nor that he was notified both before and after his vacation that the decedent's INR was 1.10. Further, he apparently failed to review any test results he received or contact the decedent or his daughter. Thereafter, the decedent had a terminal CVA and died. Testimony. Milnick experts reviewed the defendant's records over the entire 11-year period he treated the decedent. They opined that the defendant substantially failed to document any alleged communications with the decedent and that this failure directly led to decedent's demise. Their reviews were extremely negative. The reviewers concluded that the defendant clearly failed to meet the standard of care throughout all 11 years of patient care. The defense counsel was highly concerned about the negativity of the expert reviews and the lack of defensibility of the defendant's actions. Thus, the defense counsel immediately began settlement negotiations prior to defendant's deposition. There was serious concern that the defendant's testimony at deposition would substantially lack credibility because there was no documentation to substantiate his actions. Fortunately, given the facts of this case, the defense was able to negotiate a settlement of $450,000 on behalf of the cardiologist. For more information and to view back issues of Milnick's case review and our other publications, Dateline, Dental Dateline, and the Albany Report, please visit milnick.com.